we back.
And we back.
And we back.
And we back.
And
then.
Welcome back to the No Suit Sports Podcast. We are your hosts. I am Chris and it's my boy Spin. And we come to you every week live with the raw, the rugged, everything about sports. And what we got on today's topic list, my boy?
Man, we got a couple different things on today's topic list. We're going to be talking some NBA, college football, and some NFL. First, we're going to start it off with the NBA. I know everybody done heard about this Ben Simmons shit that's going on with. Ben Simmons wanting to be traded from Philly and Philly wanting to keep him for whatever reason. And I really don't know how all of this started, but I hope that it ends soon because it's foolishness. That's how Krim labeled the topic whenever we were talking about the topic. Ben Simmons foolish. It was accurate. But what you think about it though?
I think recent reports, I'm gonna just go dive a little deeper. Daryl Morey, for the people that don't know, he's the president of the 76ers ball club. You know what I mean? He basically saying he's gonna have a standoff if he have to for 4 years if he have to, if he can't get a difference maker. That's the word everybody using. A difference maker for Ben Simmons for whatever reason. I don't know what difference maker he's expecting or wanting. He said a difference maker. And there's some reports that saying that it could happen as early as December 15th. Mm. That's still a little minute away. So what I think of it, now Ben Simmons is saying, look, he's not mentally ready. His mental health is not there to play. We don't take that lightly. You know what I mean? We don't take anybody's mental health lightly, especially if you're in a public eye and everything. But, right. Big but, I don't think. I think that was strategic on his publicity, like his publicist. I can't say right. That word. What is it? Publicity. Not his, the people that take over, the publicist.
The publicist. Is that what
Yeah, the saying? Publicist. Yeah. But that was killing me. But
I got the
you know what I'm saying? But I think that was strategic. Even if that's a little bit true, I don't think it's because of what the path he's been taking. Not talking to nobody, like, man, I want to do, I'm just ready to go. Thanks, y'all right. Love it. And B said, but now him and Tobias Harris coming out like, look, we support him. You have to say that after somebody say something about mental health. You know what I'm saying? What you gonna say? Man, forget that dude. He was, like.
Right.
It's goofy, dog. I don't know what's gonna happen, to be honest. Like, this is a weird situation from a top player in the league. So what you think? Right.
Man, I'm so confused. I was kind of looking up, some more stuff because I really didn't know what it was about. So I was like, let me kind of dive in a little bit deeper. And I looked it up and I got a couple of quotes from Ben Simmons. And he said he wants to be traded to a place so he can go and make mistakes. And I'm like, what you mean, bro? You're not making mistakes at this point. You're making decisions. Not shooting the ball is a decision, bro. That's not a mistake after like so long. Yeah. And then I'm like, Ben, I really don't know what he got going on, but I'm like, bro, you got to take the good with the bad. You sign a contract for $177 million. That's going to be your good. And then the bad is sometimes you're going to get criticized. That's the bad whenever you get paid like that. Now, if you was getting paid like somebody, that wasn't like that, nobody would care. But whenever we spend all our resources on you, we expect they expect a return on their investment. And that's what I understand that. Nobody's asking them to do anything but take a couple of shots. It's a basketball thing, and I think Ben is making it a personal thing. And when I say it's a basketball thing, I mean it's going to follow him wherever he goes. It's not – you not shooting the ball isn't going to change. It's not going to – the next team isn't going to be like, okay, that's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll pay you this amount of money. That's not going to happen. It is a basketball thing, not something that is unique to Philadelphia and what they want you to do. This is what everybody wants you to do. And you can do it. You just need to work on your shot. Ben Simmons can do it. He just has to put in the work, on his shot and not be just accountable about it, bro. Just be accountable. You don't shoot well. And that's okay. But what's not okay is knowing that you don't shoot well and not working on shooting well. That's where it becomes unacceptable. But just not being able to shoot well, hey, bro, that's nobody's perfect. But to not try, that's where it is a problem, I think.
Hey, I agree with you. I definitely agree. I think, I don't know if this was a true report or not, but they were saying something along the lines, I don't know if it was Daryl Morey or Doc Rivers, that was like, if you don't attempt one shot a game, we're going to bench you. That jump's hilarious. It caused my mind. That's
Twitter, bro.
You know, that's hilarious. They don't bench that man. Ben Simmons, I don't know what you're so afraid of. I don't know why would you want to go somewhere. You normally hear people saying, I want to go somewhere, different culture, different environment. I want to win. That man said, I want to go somewhere I can make mistakes. Bro, what? You're a professional athlete. Nobody want to hear that. Nobody trying to take
hear that, bro.
At all. Nobody trying to take you if you, I want to go somewhere I can make mistakes. Man, look, just man up about it. Work on your shot, bro. You decent at basketball. Like, you're really good at what you do. So it's like they're just trying to bring, because you're a point guard, you need to have another element. And if you can't shoot, you're hindering your team. So, man, I don't know how this is going to play out, but I definitely look forward to seeing how it will.
Yeah. It's a difference between him not, like, can't shoot and won't shoot. We're okay with you if you can't shoot. Yeah. Russell Westbrook can't shoot. Nobody complains about Russell Westbrook's style. I mean, you know, they don't complain about him being aggressive, for sure. Right. But he still can't shoot. It's okay. He's an MVP.
And he worked on it and got a little bit better.
But he's still not a shooter, even though he's working on it. But nobody can say anything because Russell Westbrook, I know for sure he putting in work.
Yeah.
I know. If it's going to happen on the court, I don't know. But that's why I always respect them, because it don't matter. You did everything you could do to make sure that it did go right on the court. And that's all Ben got to do, bro. And then you're going to be straight wherever you go, or if you have to stay. Hopefully not.
I want to see him somewhere else. I really do. I want to see.
Me too.
Bro, it's going to be interesting to see. So December 15th, we're going to mark that on our calendars and see if he get moved.
Indeed.
Or if he ain't for the long haul. But next up, we got two players that's not afraid to shoot, not afraid to do this thing in this league, who in their second year, Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, they have been balling, you hear me?
Balling.
You know what I mean? So I think both teams are 3-0 at this point.
Exactly.
LaMelo and them 3-0 for the first time in franchise history. He got the Hornets 3-0, and of course his guys, and Anthony Edwards and them 2-0. Two teams.
No, they 3-0 now, though.
They 3-0 now?
I want to say, I think they played today. I know the Hornets played today. They beat the
Hornets
Nets.
They beat the Nets. So what
you, I could be wrong about that, though.
But, hey, regardless, both of them undefeated.
Regardless.
They thought that, you know what I mean? What you take from that?
Man, bro, they looking nice, both of them. Both of them looking nice. They both averaging 24 points a game. I want to say 24 and a half points a game, so they're over. So they really doing their thing. And then they both averaging, I want to say, 6 or 7 assists a game. So they really account for a big core, your points, you know, being able to distribute the ball. They both were on the defensive end, had a couple steals as well. And so I'm like, okay, they are playing well-rounded basketball. They not just out here, you know, shooting. Like, all you're going to see on LaMelo highlights is him doing, you know, the crazy stuff, which he is a fool at. I seen man go up for a layup and threw a pass behind his back, hit his man for the three, splash. I said, okay, this dude is nice. This dude is nice. And then Anthony Edwards, I like what he brings to the game on and off the court because of how he is. I feel like he just himself, and whether a lot of people not gonna like it. A lot of people not gonna like it because he's real confident and cocky, even arrogant even. But I like it. I like it myself because I'm like, bro, hey. If that's who you are, be who you are. You don't have to come in this league and then humble yourself. As long as you're not hurting nobody, you're not saying nothing crazy to nobody. You can be who you are. Now, like I said, some people not gonna like it. Like we said with Ben Simmons, you got to take the good with the bad. Some people gonna like it, some people not. And you just got to rock out with it. But I like what they both doing, for sure, for sure.
Man, I love the confidence factor. Like you were saying, forget with anybody that don't like it. If you don't like somebody being confident, you know what I'm saying, actually producing, you know, you a hater at that point. You know what I'm saying? LaMelo and Anthony Edwards have that. Anthony Edwards, I feel like when he last year as a rookie, he was coming up trying to get his foot in and then started going up. Okay, now I can show my confidence again. And LaMelo, he just going to be him. You know what I mean? He's been
regardless
since he was, what, 13, 12 with the Ball family. So I love seeing young people produce, confident with it, and have a swag about them, because especially in basketball, since it's such a intimate sport, it's only five versus five, your team could feed off that.
It is the word you just used, but.
Hey, man, look.
You know, okay. I just rock out with it. Okay.
All right. You're going to just use that? All right. Yeah, I think both teams, honestly, I could see Timberwolves in the playoffs. I could see.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I could see the Hornets making a little deeper run in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
A few things, you know what I'm saying? They're a little top-heavy. I like how they have Gordon Hayward and different players that contribute with LaMelo Ball. And it's like, man, they look good. Especially both of their debuts was nasty. I think LaMelo had, like, what, 31?
Yeah, something he like went that. Out. Yeah, he went out.
Oh, Pacers, you need your behind beat. I'm going to look at the camera. You need your behind beat for dropping to, like, a 20-point lead late in the third. Like, what is y'all doing? What are you doing? Oh, right. Man, this man has sticky fingers. He think getting like three steals a game.
Yeah.
Man, look, that I man like both of them. They both are doing their thing, man. So
balling and swagging. I love it.
Love it. Let us see it from young kids. And
we got
future stars.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Hey, and that lime green. I don't know if I would have did the lime green, but that Lamborghini. Hey, I would have definitely did that for sure.
Swag.
Yeah, that's why I say, hey, if you pull it off, bro, go for it.
Swag.
If you can, do. Everybody ain't able.
Everybody not able to do it. And listen, do it to you how you can. Do it to your best ability. Show it on the court, off the court. What people gonna do? If you produce, nobody can tell you a thing. Now, if you're not producing, people got arguments.
Slow down. Slow down. Nah, it's good though. It's good to see them, those two young boys to doing their thing. But we're gonna move over to a veteran in the game, Steph Curry. Yes, somebody who does it completely opposite of those two. And that's okay because it works for him and it works really well. So do you think the Warriors are back? Steph Curry and the Warriors? Like they the Temptations?
The Temptations. Kinda. It's gonna be scary because Klay not even playing yet. Klay not even playing yet. The Warriors look so dangerous because they have that same type of swag, but they veterans, like you mentioned, all together. So they know how. I know he's gonna be over here. I know that I can. I know right behind me, I can pass it back. Man, sitting right there by the 3-point line. They vibe together, mesh together so well, and Steph playing like he want to win another MVP. Basketball is going to be really exciting this year. So I'll say, yeah, they are back. I want to see how Klay come back since he haven't played in a couple of years. Maybe he may be washed up. I don't think so. But having two big injuries like that is going to be hard to come back from. But if he's back too, man, look. What you think about him?
I'm torn, you know. I see Steph is averaging a double-double right now with 33 and 10, but this is the problem that leads the team. Steph Curry can't lead the team in rebounds. Now, he can lead it in points, but if he leads it in rebounds, it's a means to no good end. I can tell you that for sure. It may look good right now, but in the long run, that ain't going to be good. So I got to see how that shape up. I know when Klay get back, it's going to be crazy because right now, Steph Curry is the only person on their team averaging over 15 points. Nobody else even scores 15 points a game. That is also not sustainable. And so that's why I say I'm holding my horses. Steph Curry done went crazy. Like you said, looking like he won another MVP these first couple of games. But like I said, that's not something that I see being able to be sustained. So right now, I'm chilling on them right now. But if they were to do something and make some noise, I would not be surprised. I'm not saying that I count them. I'm counting them out. I'm just, you know, I'm holding my hold. I'm waiting. You know, I ain't betting all on black right now.
I respect that. I definitely respect that because it makes a lot of sense from the standpoint of seeing how dependent they are on Steph. The only thing I think with it, because this unit is so solid, they have Iguodala back. They have people that's been there for years that know how to win. That I'm just foreshadowing, man. They're gonna be tough to beat. And without a KD, I think they're gonna still be tough to beat. Are they going all the way? Probably not. We're gonna see, you know, how things shape out. But yeah, I think they're gonna be nice. If Klay is what Klay was before, that's gonna be dangerous, dog.
Yeah. It's gonna be a sight to see. So I'm definitely looking forward to this NBA season kicking off, or it's already kicked off, but forward to get more into the swing of things and we can kind of see a little bit more from every team and a couple more situations, getting a couple players back. I think that'll be good for everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
And a team that nobody saw.
Right. Much different from the Warriors. Yeah.
Much different. Bunch of new faces. Chicago Bulls.
The Chicago Bulls.
Great. With Alonzo Ball, with LaVine. All these players that they just acquired to fit the system and playing together miraculously.
Right.
3-0. Looking great. Zach LaVine, another one that's going to probably just be averaging 25, a good portion of, you know, up the when it comes all said and done. Do you think the Bulls got it in them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, or, you know, just make a deep run?
Oh yeah, for sure, most definitely. If the Bulls look like they're building something, they meshing, like you said, they coming together. They just look like they have good chemistry, which is, you know, different because they are a lot of different faces, like you said, but they seem like they're putting it together well. LaVine is averaging 26 a game. Then you got Lonzo leading the team in assists. Lonzo's also leading the team in steals, so he's doing it on both ends of the court. He's playing a true point guard, and he's letting everybody make plays. But he's also putting up about, I want to say, 13, 14 points a game too. So he's putting a big handprint on the game. And I think the way that they can defend, because they are willing defenders. That's the first thing in basketball. Are you willing to defend somebody?
Exactly.
Fuck if you can, are you willing to? And so they're all willing defenders, and I think that's going to, you know, take them a long way. Now, I don't think right now, I you know, maybe we get 30, 40 games in, that might change my mind. But right now, I don't think they're going to the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals or the finals. Mm-hmm. But I definitely see them making a pretty good push and being competitive. I don't see them being swept or even gentlemen swept by anybody. So there's that.
That's fair enough because, you know, we have a lot to see from them. I like how they're playing through the hot hand. Like anybody that's trying to get going, we're going to play to you, whether it's DeMar DeRozan, LaVine, Lonzo facilitating. I love to see it. So that's why I really think they have a chance at getting – like a deep run. I want to see more. Hopefully everybody stay healthy and it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh yeah, most definitely. We're going to be looking forward to it. That's going to be something to see, man. I like seeing a couple different teams, a couple new faces when we start talking about watching, you know, much fuck the finals, but just watching basketball. I haven't watched the Bulls in a minute. So now it's good to just be able to turn on the TV if a basketball game is on. Pretty much everybody's watchable besides like the Magic and probably Toronto at this point. But, you know, I ain't going to get too many of them games. Anyway, moving on to something else that I hadn't watched in the past really that much. HBCU college football, man. I unfortunately, before Deion Sanders got there, man, I hadn't been watching too much HBCU football. But now that prime time is there, he's doing exactly as his name says, and he's putting a light on the HBCU program, specifically his Jackson State Jaguars, I want to say. See, that's bad. I don't even know if I'm Tigers. If I'm Tigers. Boom. See, my bad. I apologize. They 5-1. They doing their thing. I be watching them. I catch their highlights on YouTube. I can't wait till they get a game on, you know, nationally televised. Because I think that they are pretty good. They really are. What you been thinking about Jackson State and what Primetime is doing down there?
Man, like you said, I haven't watched much HBCU. We talked about this in a recent past about just trying to support and trying to get players to actually go to these programs. And I love Prime for doing this. Prime, you're the man for going somewhere like, because you could have went to any Power 5 school. You went to the SWAC. Look, I'm bringing my name with me and everything. I'm in these commercials with Nick Saban. You know what I'm saying? Bringing the HBCU swag with the bands and everything. I love it, bro. I love it because he going to start getting recruits. People going to start turning over, and hopefully it could be a snowball effect with these HBCU. What Prime is actually doing at Jackson State, though, man, they got – I don't know. I want to say they didn't play last year because of Corona and everything. The year before, I think it was like 4-8. They're like 4-8, not looking good at all. He got these 5-1? Is it 5-1 or 6-1?
5-1.
One of them. 5-1. That quarterback, I don't know where he got him from or if he's been there. What's his name? Sanders?
It's his son.
It's his son?
Yes.
I didn't even know that. Oh man, that dude looking nice, bro.
Yeah, that man is a fool.
That man's looking nice. He's completing like 70% of his passes. I want to say he had like a 17-1 touchdown to interception ratio. It's like, what more can you want from your quarterback? And I hate that in the HBCU, you're not getting that type of recognition because if you look up different college stats and have a ranking, he should be top three in as far as a touchdown interception ratio. He's not on the list because they don't put the swag with all the, you know, all the conferences. But they need this recognition. They need to keep seeing them, like you say, on national TV. We want to see this. Players, you control your destiny, and of course, you're going to go where your name is called more. We get more TV time, but HBCU could be making a turn of events.
Hey, most definitely. Hopefully so. We get a couple of recruits. You start, you know, playing a little bit more cleaner football. You start getting better facilities because the football is better and it's starting to be on TV. The field looks better. Because right now, if you watch it, it looked like, you know, we played on better fields in high school than what they playing on. We played in better stadiums in high school than what they playing in right now. So, you know, once those things start to be able to happen, the playing field is going to start to even out a little bit. And then I feel like that's when you're going to be able to see really what the potential is. Right now, we just seeing a little bit of progress. We happy with that. But I think giving them those resources, like Alabama, like Oklahoma, LSU, Clemson, one of these bigger programs, giving these other schools a little bit of those resources, not even those bigger schools. I can say a smaller school, maybe Iowa State or something like that. If you do that, you know, you still put them in a situation where they can compete with Iowa State, and then they can kind of build. And it, once they're there, they can either excel or stay the same or go below. But they don't even have the opportunity right now.
I hate it, bro. Prime, I'm glad you're using his name, like I said. Yeah, hopefully, man, hopefully this start. Just need a couple and just keep going. If these little recruits that come to these schools and make it competitive, like make it watchable that people want to put on ESPN. I think the only televised game they have, which makes sense against the Southern Jaguars, that people want to see that. But it's like, man, people want to see Prime as well. Make some of their games nationally televised. Prime going to do his recruiting thing because you can pay him. it applies to the SWAC too, huh? You could pay him.
Everybody,
so hey,
yeah, it's showing though. They got a really good recruit class coming in next year. You're gonna have that, so that's gonna be some better players. Like you already stated, his son is doing his thing at quarterback. He have another son that plays safety. He doing his thing too, and then Primetime using his network to be able to get these players different deals, to be able to put some money in their pocket as well. I think that it can happen. And, you know, once they get, they got to get some better uniforms as well. Their uniform, the design of them is good, but they got to get, you know, they got to get them a little bit better. And that way they'll look good once they get on the field. Because, you know, that'd be half of it. When you just look at Notre Dame, they look cold. Whether they are or not is up to Krim. But they look like they bounce something. And so you want to watch it. You look at that stadium, you know, it looks like you can watch it. But when you turn on a SWAT game, all of them, the camera quality isn't good. Like, a lot of things just make it less watchable. Just right. From, you know, things that are outside of the actual football that's being played. And that's the unfortunate thing, because the actual football that's being played is good. Mm-hmm. But everything outside of that is so bad. It's just like, especially if there's more good football being played, I'm going to choose the other one.
Yeah, especially if it's a casual fan that they probably see this game on. For what, it's all fuzzy. Like Prime say, look good. Feel good, and et cetera, et cetera. Like, we have to get these programs more funds that they can do their thing with. Mm-hmm. But speaking of more unwatchableness, that's actually unwatchable because of the football being played, we have a couple upsets from Penn State. Number 7, Penn State versus Illinois. Number 8, Oklahoma State versus Iowa State. I don't know what to keep saying at this point about this top 10 that's keep getting shaken up, because a lot of these teams don't belong in the top 10. But, man, I'm going to pass it to you, man. What did this do for you?
Man, I'm going to lump them both together. I'm not even going to talk about these two things separately, but they got to be talked about, man. Penn State went to 9 overtimes. At first glance, you think, you be like, damn, that game probably was – man, I missed the game of the year. They won. I mean, they lost 20-18 in 9 overtimes. Let that sink in. Come on, bro. Like, y'all got to stop it. 9 overtimes. And that's why Big Ten football, man, is about to become unwatchable because of the football being played on the field. Mm-hmm. That's the unfortunate part. Jackson State is playing good football on the field, but if you turn on, man, anybody listening to this, go to YouTube, pull up Penn State versus Illinois, and just look at it, and notice just how green the grass is, how everybody, the stadium, everything looks top of the line. And then you turn on the Jackson State game, if you can find it, turn it on. And somebody was recording it off their Nokia from 2005, man. It's just, that's why I'm like, that's not fair, but that's just how it is. But I digress on that. As far as Oklahoma State and Iowa State, I'm so mad at Oklahoma State because I'm an Oklahoma fan. I need Oklahoma State to be undefeated. Mm-hmm. So when we beat them, boom. But they done dropped the ball, man. Pissing down their leg. What's up, boo? My girl just came. But what I was saying, they pissing down their legs, just not being able to make up their mind whether they want to be elite or not. And Oklahoma State has so many opportunities to win this game, and they just literally could not finish it. And it was really unfortunate. I mean, Iowa State is a good football team too, so I don't want to take no credit from them at all. They are a good football team. Illinois, I don't think, is a good football team to beat Penn State. I just don't think Penn State is good either. I think Iowa State is a solid football team, and they deserve the win, but Oklahoma State definitely had a couple of opportunities to take it away, even down to the last minute. And when they went for it on 4th, and they came up like a couple of inches short, it was controversial whether they were even short or not. I couldn't tell when I was watching it live, so it was one of those things where y'all shouldn't even been in that situation. So, this is the stupid text. Everybody, when you do stupid stuff, you have a stupid text. And it's just like real taxes. You have to pay it. It's no one's exempt unless you like President Trump or something, but that's neither here nor there. That's neither here nor there. So when you do stupid stuff, you pay the stupid tax, and you lose a game that was very winnable, and you are now not the number 8 team, and you now don't have a championship aspiration, unless like some like crazy. We ain't even gonna think about that. You don't have a chance now. So that was upsetting for sure. But what you think about this foolishness?
I'll get Oklahoma State, Iowa State out the way because I feel like they kind of comparable.
Right.
You know, it was a back and forth game. But Oklahoma State never should have been number 18. So I'll get that out the way. It was upset. But
that's facts on facts on facts.
You know what I mean? I want to get to this Penn State, though. I have to dive deeper just a little bit. Just a little bit. Penn State started off looking like, first and foremost, they should have never been in the top 3 ever. But they dropped to number 7. They started off looking like, okay, we about to put our hands on this team. Mind you, they were at home. They were at home against the Illinois team that was 2-5. Man, Illinois, I've never seen Illinois play college football ever. 2-5 team coming to number 7 team house. Keep that in mind. So, first drive, get a turnover, they go score. Penn State, get a turnover, go score, cool. Second drive, get another turnover. They should have scored, but got 3 out of it. You're up 10-0. 10-0 against a team 2-5. Have no business anywhere near you, right? People were saying the quarterback, Clifford, I think his name is, if he was in the Iowa game, we don't know what would have happened type situation. So let's put that in perspective. If Clifford didn't go out of the Iowa game, let's say Penn State still top 3, it'd probably be number 2. So with that being said, y'all look terrible. Defense, you need a scholarship strip. They had the Illinois running back, Brown. Oh, my, bro, Brown was running over these dudes like it was nothing. Brown had like 200 yards rushing. Brown was not scared. They were not scared of y'all. And it was so embarrassing from a standpoint to even get, and mind you, Illinois had two touchdowns called back. Two touchdowns called back from penalties. And they still got the best of y'all. You could have won it in the first overtime, just make the pick. But, you know, mom was too big, peed on your leg. Mom was too big, they could have won it. But it went to 9 overtimes and you lost. I don't want to see a Penn State name in the top 25. I don't want to see that. Like, oh, well, my goodness.
I can't promise you that. They're going to be in the top 25. Boy, they got 2 losses. They still going to be in the top 25. So we know how that's going to be. But now that we have gotten that out of the way, we won't continue to, you know, make our podcast worse. We're going to move on to the NFL, man, and talk about these rookie quarterbacks. They 6-16, not counting today, if anybody played today.
Yeah, 7-18 count today.
Okay, 7-18 counting today, so it didn't get better. It didn't. Better for him. We got a couple different quarterbacks. We got Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. What you think about these cast of characters?
I feel like you can't force a quarterback to be there. In any draft, a lot of these teams are needing quarterbacks, and they try to force it. Trey Lance, we don't know who he is yet, okay? Like, he might be good or not, but he shouldn't have been drafted where he was drafted based on his performance. Justin Fields should have been a little bit higher, but being thrown into these bad situations would be detrimental to these quarterbacks, man. Like, a lot of the times it'd be based on where you go. A Zach Wilson that I've never heard of until the draft came around, going to the Jets, that's not going to be good. We see what happened with Sam Darnold. That wasn't good. And now this man is benched. Zach Wilson probably going to follow a similar path because the Jets are just a terrible program. So being 7-18 collective, all those quarterbacks, it's a bad thing to see. Like, none of them look really good. Mac Jones looked decent today because they got a big win. But his record, I think it's like 3-4. They don't look good at all.
They don't look good at all, man. They got some learning to do. They definitely got some learning to do. For me, what I did was I just compared the three that started all year. So Trevor, Zach, and Mac. I'm not a rapper though. Trevor, Zach, and Mac played all year, and they've been stinking it up all year. Zach disqualified himself with the way he's been playing. Just for us to talk about who's the best of these three, he's disqualified himself based on the way he played.
Mind you, when he in the preseason, people was like, the Jets are amazing. They picked Zach Wilson. He's looking amazing in preseason. That's base defense. We see what happened when he gets a regular team playing this game. He looks terrible.
Yeah. He would probably be the best if they were just doing a combine. He probably is the fastest. He could probably throw it the farthest and all that other type of shit. So, yeah, you know, when you're going against vanilla stuff, you are going to look better than everybody else until everything starts to happen. But he disqualified himself, so we ain't got to talk about him. But Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence are really neck and neck. I would say I really put Trevor Lawrence even above Mac Jones in the way that he's performing. And I don't feel like Trevor is getting his props and Mac Jones is getting all this credit, you know, for he is playing well, but I just feel like it's not fair credit. He's getting people talking about rookie of the year. And I see Mac Jones interviews and stuff like that. And I'm like, I haven't seen a Trevor Lawrence interview. I don't know if they do them or not. I don't know if there's certain TV deals that are going on that I don't know, but I ain't seen none. And when you look at the stats, they are almost identical. And Trevor Lawrence didn't even play. He's played less of a game. So he really got better stats. And I'm like, he on a worse team. Let's not forget that. He's on a worse team as well. So not sure why he's not getting the credit, but I wanted to shout out Trevor Lawrence. Y'all garbage right now, but you trying to do your thing. You going through some struggles. Y'all are going through some struggles, but I give you a little bit of credit because everybody else is giving Mac Jones credit for doing the exact same thing. If you look up their sets, they are literally the exact same. And Trevor Lawrence is playing on the worst team. So that's what I say.
That's how I like that part. I don't think people understand how important that is. Mac Jones is with a Hall of Fame that people say maybe top two coaches of all time. He's in that program. Trevor Lawrence is with a coach that...
Don't say it.
He's with Urban Meyer that, you know, just making his debut in the NFL. And Jaguars are terrible. They are really terrible.
Man, they are.
So you have to take that in effect. Me personally, I'm not giving any one of them credit. You should have shining moments. You're a professional athlete. Y'all both look terrible, especially from both standpoints. Trevor Lawrence been the number one pick. How good he looked at Clemson. People thought he was going to be the savior for whatever team he went to. Looks garbage. Mac Jones just look garbage. Like, no rookie quarterback looks good. Mind you, they can develop to be good, and I think that some of them will. But throwing these kids in this environment to be starting quarterback, it's not a good thing to do. They should have time to really sit and understand the ways of how I should be as an NFL player, especially because of their confidence. I feel like as a quarterback, if you start second-guessing yourself, it's over with. So we're going to see how it turned out for all of them.
Oh, yeah. We definitely going to see. We got to see it, man, because a lot of times in the media, people start to get favorites. They get people that they like, even if nobody else did nothing to you, right? They start to get favorites because I don't know why, but that's just how it is. So we going to see how it play out, though, because one thing for sure, if Urban Meyer ain't the guy, Urban not gonna wait for himself to get fired. He gonna be up out of there. So we're not gonna have to wait. That's one thing I like about him. If they losing too much, he up out of there. So he will get a good coach one way or another. And I think that's gonna be beneficial. Start to get some better players around him. And I think that he is gonna be nice. I was kind of I wasn't sure about him, but I think that he is going to be nice now after watching him a couple of times and kind of seeing what he's about, especially playing on this team that he's playing on, because it's easy to check out playing with them, and he hasn't done that.
Yeah, let me say that. Trevor Lawrence improved week to week. He's keeping improving, and that's what you want to see, like, just improving. Mac Jones kind of almost on a little flat line, but he is, you know, of course, just trying to get better. But Trevor Lawrence is impressing me as far as the improvement, even though it's still not looking that good. If you're improving, you don't know what your ceiling can be. So,
I feel like with Mac Jones, though, it's also I don't know if he's improving or getting worse, because some of the – when you actually watch the games, he's ending up with more yards, but I don't think he's making as good of a decision. Like, when he played the Cowboys, he threw a pick six, right? Bad decision. Come back the next drive, and he ends up throwing a touchdown. But if anybody goes back and look at that play to Kendrick Bourne at the end of the Cowboys game, it was double coverage. He threw it into double coverage. Yes, it worked out, but just like we said with Steph Curry, it's not a mean to a good end. When you start to do things that maybe work right now, and it's basically a shortcut, it's not gonna continue to work. And that's why I say, when you kind of break it down, you can't keep throwing it in a double coverage and getting those type of players. Mind you, that was like an 80 yard bomb, and he finished with 230. So that was an 80-yard bomb, and he finished with 230. So think about how many yards he actually had. So that's why they were able to mask it, because he does have one of the best coaches ever. But we got to see how this continues to go. We're going to see, though.
We're definitely going to see.
We're going to see. we got an interesting one up next.
That's what I'm saying, man.
We're going to be talking about Kansas City. We're going to talk about Kansas City and the Tennessee Titans. But most importantly, since the game wasn't even competitive, I'm going to just skip everything about the game. That game wasn't even competitive.
Yeah, Kansas City got blew out for those who didn't watch.
Yeah, they got blew out by the Titans. So, boom. It was a lot to a little bit. That man tripping. But the question of the day is, will Kansas City be the new Seattle? Meaning, will Kansas City follow the pattern that the Seattle Seahawks have followed? What say you?
I'm not going to go that far with it. I'm not going to go that far. For people that don't know Seattle Seahawks, they fell apart. It was at the top of the top, the Legion of Boom on defense. Russell Wilson was doing Russell Wilson things. Marshawn Lynch was doing Marshawn Lynch things. And then he had the cast around just being a solid football team. I'm not going to go that far, because I feel like the era, Russell Wilson wasn't what he is now. He basically was almost like a game manager that made great decisions and also had athleticism to it. By them taking Marshawn Lynch away from him and having it open up, he had to look. I can do this. I can play outside the numbers. I can make these passes, and you know. But the only thing about that is that's not sustainable as far as trying to always go have this deep threat as far as the Seattle Seahawks go. And then the defense collapsed. Kansas City, they have all the pieces on offense. Like, I don't think anything on offense is going to change. If they do collapse, then I think it'll be like Seattle. If Tyreek Hill say I want to be traded, Travis Kelce try to go elsewhere, stuff like that, then it could be like Seattle, because it just happened on the opposite end of the football field. But if they stick together and they just build their defense back up, this year I don't think they're going to go where we thought they was going to go. It's still possible because it's early in the season, but I don't think they're going to go where we thought. I think they're going to be okay next year. Next year they get some pieces, get some free agents, build their defense. Maybe get a new defensive coordinator and get straight. Pat gonna be all right. What you think, though?
Man, I think that they are gonna be like Seattle. Like, it's too similar, man. It's like almost identical. Think about it. They both got a cold quarterback, right? They both got a good players coach, Pete Carroll and Andy Reid, both a good players coach. They only have two weapons on offense outside of the quarterback. In Seattle, they have DK and Tyler Lockett, no running back. In Kansas City, they have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, no running back. They both got back-to-back Super Bowl appearances, winning the first one, losing the second one. And most importantly, they both don't play defense. It's the same team. It's just it looks a little bit different and things like that. Now, Pat is better. Russell Wilson, a beast, but Pat is a lot better. And when they won their Super Bowl, he's a lot further along. But nonetheless, to me, it is identical in the sense of where they are now. We done seen Russ has played at a very, very high level. I don't think that Patrick, that was fucked up. But I don't think Pat is playing at such a higher level. You know, Russ is playing at a good level. Now, Pat is better, but he's not so much better that it would result in a Super Bowl better if their team continues to play this way, like as a whole, because he's not even playing that well. So it's likely.
Are you saying that this Kansas City team is following the same path of old Seattle, and that's where they're going to end up, like what Seattle is now? That's what you're saying?
I'm saying they are already where Seattle is now. Like right now, they already got the same team. I'm not saying that if they don't switch up some stuff, they can't get back on top. But I'm saying right now, if they stick with everything, like how Seattle stuck with all their coaches, all their players and everything, they'll continue to be like Seattle. Because right now, they're the same team. Right now, the Seattle Seahawks and the Kansas City Chiefs are the same team. What color do you like? Do you like lime green or do you like yellow?
I don't agree with that. I'm going to tell you why. Like, they can have a running game. Clyde keep getting hurt. Like, they need that piece, and I feel like he can continue to be a decent runner for them because that is definitely something they need. You know what I'm saying?
He's a small back, and what's wrong with him right now? He hurt. So this is not something that you can, like, be like, oh, that's unexpected. That's probably not going to keep happening. It probably will because he was hurt last year, He's been hurt every year. He's like Tua. I'm trying to tell you, he's been hurt every year. And so –
he may be shorter in stature, but he a stocky dude. It's not like – I mean, it's just unfortunate.
He's probably not even 200 pounds.
He got to be 200 pounds, man. He got to be. But Seattle also have – look that up real quick.
I'm your stat guy.
Seattle got a run game. They got Carson, but he's hurt. I think the weapons that –
What you're doing right now? Do you know that you are more so making my point more so than that man said? That man said they have a running back too that is also hurt.
Well, look at this. Ain't they the same?
Story before. I don't know. But listen, 209 pounds though. But
yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
You're making my point though.
But listen, Kansas City weapons, I think their weapons can be far greater than Seattle, even though Seattle have weapons. I don't think Kansas City is so dependent on deep balls. Tyreek Hill, yes, he loves running deep. He could catch Kelce deep too. And they have the little speedsters and, McCole Hartman and Robinson, but they can run these in routes. They can get open. And what they're struggling with, I don't know what they're doing on defense. And I feel like Pat is trying to, I don't know, make up for it, but he's not looking good in the sense of whatever he's trying to do.
Okay.
So I don't think they're the same. I think Russ and them, the Seahawks are so dependent on the deep ball that it's going to hinder them that much. As the season goes on, Kansas City, I feel like, will figure out a little bit. What you think their record going to be then, as far as both teams' records?
They playing different teams, so that's not a fair question.
Ain't trying to hit that, man.
For one, and Russell Wilson is hurt for number two. So that's,
I'll get that one.
And guess who else is hurt? Patrick Mahomes.
Man.
So I guess I could do it, man. But so they both kind of down. So I can't really do that. And Seattle plays in a division. Yeah. So that's not a real fair question. So their records probably won't look the same. But if you were to put them in the same division, I think the outcome would be the same. Because, you know, like I said, they really, to me, are the same team. They both don't play defense. And they both are dependent upon the deep ball. They're both dependent upon the deep ball, I'm trying to tell you. They're literally the exact same. It just feels like they're not, because Pat is so great, but you know about the significant value. It got to be so much greater to actually see a difference. Like if I have a car that's 350 horsepower and you have one that's 325, we're really not going to see the difference. They're going to be damn near the same, even though technically mine is a little bit faster, but we'll never fucking know. Same thing with Seattle and Kansas City, except for, you know, Patrick Mahomes is great, is amazing.
I can't even argue it. I can't even argue. We're just going to see how things continue to shake out, because Kansas City have to do something. They're looking so terrible. I don't remember the last time they ever got beat like this. And I know they never got beat like this having Pat. So they're looking so bad that some adjustments have to be made immediately.
Exactly. And that's why we can't even just blame it on the defense. They didn't score a touchdown today. And Pat did get hurt, but he got hurt when they was already not going to score a touchdown.
Yeah, it went like late or mid-third quarter when he got hurt.
Yeah, it was already over with type shit. So, and they ain't scoring no touchdown. Like I done told you, people done figured it out. They, without the deep ball, they not almost the same. They are the Seattle Seahawks.
Fair enough.
Tomato, tomato.
You know what I mean? They gotta just do something. I'm just so disappointed. Them boys just do something.
Yeah, me too.
But you know who have been doing something? The Cincinnati Bengals. You hear me? Look, they might take Patton's spot in the AFC Championship. How I'm feeling, you know what I'm saying? But they just blew out. It was close at first, but they blew out the Baltimore Ravens, the divisional opponent. Man, this game was crazy. What you take and what you like about the Bengals?
I like everything about the Bengals. The Bengals play good defense. They play great offense. I like everything about the Bengals. The Bengals are I like the Bengals for a couple different reasons. Not only the way that they are now putting it together on the field, but the way that they built the team. I feel like the Bengals didn't take, you know, like they had to take Joe Burrow. That was just like a pick. Mm-hmm. You had to do that. But then when you came back and then you took Ja'Marr Chase, I feel like that's what separated them. Everybody was talking about how bad their offensive line was, when really it seems like the problem was more so that they didn't have a number one receiver. And when you had that number one receiver, it opens everything up so much more. You got Joe Mixon. Now he's able to get off. He ain't seeing these eight-man boxes like that. Because Joe Mixon is nice, but he human too. So having Ja'Marr Chase and not picking that tackle, I know how appealing that was, but not picking the tackle, going ahead and getting you a playmaker, let you know what it can do for you when you had that number one receiver. That's somebody that I don't know why people won't talking about teams dependent upon the deep ball. That's these people, but I think that they have that's not just what they do. It just happened to be open. Like right. Joe's hitting it when it's open. I don't see them forcing deep balls. Even like this week, Ja'Marr Chase, I think he scored on a slant. You know, he just took that to the house. They was off, I think, last week, but the week before that, his deep ball was on a scramble drill. So it wasn't a designed deep ball. And so they just taking what you give them and they busting heads. As far as the Ravens still are good. They just ran into a good team. They wasn't on their game. They didn't come to play today. They can't keep doing that. They got to go ahead and put their hard hat on, make sure they come to play, because they supposed to be the physical team. So when you see Cincinnati coming in and they're being physical, the receivers are being physical, it's going to make it real hard on you as far as when you're talking about Baltimore. But I think that both of these teams are going to be good, but I agree with you as far as saying Cincinnati could quite possibly get to that AFC chip. I mean, I can't see why not. They do everything well.
It's crazy to see and say. They do, like you said, they do everything well. I like what they're doing. I think that they needed Jamar Chase on their team, but I do think they needed to address the offensive line as well. Having a number one receiver, we see, is great. But Tyler Boyd was doing his thing last year. And we can't forget that because of the offensive line, Joe Burrow can finish the season. You know what I'm saying?
But wait, don't forget.
What's up?
I said a number one receiver. There's a difference between being just the receiver that's the number one because it's by default, right, and actually being a number one receiver. It ain't 32 number one receivers out here. Yeah. Even though it's 32 teams and it's 32 people going to line up at number one receiver on Sunday, it's not 32 number ones. So when you have a number one receiver, now you have Tyler Boyd playing. He is cold, but he's a cold number two. And now he can get off. You got Higgins, he can get off. You got Uzma. I got Uzma on my fantasy team. He can get off. You know what I mean? They all playing against people. You don't play the number one corner. Now you play the number two. You can do something.
He wasn't struggling against the number one corner, though. Tyler Boyd was.
Is he a number one receiver?
Is he a number one receiver? No. In your context, no, he's not a number one receiver. But they weren't. That's the thing. They wasn't struggling on that aspect. But they were.
That's
struggling.
Not the point, though. The point is the defense.
That's the point. Joe Burrow literally got hurt because they couldn't protect him. Clean a little bit of that up. Add a Jamar Chase. Open things up. Nah, it's just great. It looks amazing.
Oh, see, I thought you were saying instead of getting Jamar Chase, they should have got the tackle. That's why I'm like, bro, you okay.
No.
That's what
no.
I thought you were saying. I'm like,
hey, nah. And what I love about it too is because Baltimore has if y'all don't know, they have a great defense. A defense that can stop the run. They, as in the Cincinnati Bengals, knew that Baltimore was going to make them one-dimensional. Normally, when you make a team one-dimensional, it's over with. If I know you're about to pass all day, I'm going to shut you down. They couldn't do that. Not even a little bit. They was picking them apart. Okay, deep ball there. Boom. Give it to me. Picking them apart. Okay, could be a 20-yard game, 80-yard game. It looks so good that they're going to be hard to stop. If you can't stop them when they're not running the ball well, and they're not running the ball well, and they're just going to throw it on you, it's going to be hard to stop that, whoever you are. So I really like Cincinnati. I like what they're doing. Hey, I got y'all in the AFC chip.
Yeah. We interested, man. This is gonna be good. They leading the AFC North.
AFC
so
North.
Which is a tough division as well. So it's gonna be a dogfight in there. I'm rooting for them. I know you probably is too. I'm actually rooting for the Bengals.
Hey,
so.
You know I gotta root for them. Got two of my LSU stars though. Burrow and Chase going crazy.
Got Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine. They both with Oklahoma, so that's why I like them too. So we're gonna see how they coming for the rest of the season. We also gonna see how Baltimore can bounce back and how they gonna finish the season, because they in that division too. So it's gonna be some good stuff going on in these future podcasts that we're gonna be dropping every Monday on every streaming platform, YouTube,
yes sir,
iTunes, whatever you need.
Yes,
you're gonna be able to catch the No Suits podcast. So definitely tune in so you can see how this season plays out and you can hear our commentary on it.
Definitely. And with that being said, we're gonna get to our weekly picks. We got the Sunday night football, the Colts versus 49ers. Who are you taking?
I'm taking the Niners.
Give me the Colts. Tripping.
Okay.
Give me the Colts. Monday night football got my Saints versus Seattle Seahawks. Who you got?
I'm going to take your Saints.
Who that? Of course, I'm going with my Saints.
I'm going to take your Saints. Yeah.
I'm kind of.
You know, it's over with.
Yeah. I think they're going to scheme something up. So I'm kind of anxious to see that. But I think we should be straight.
Y'all at home, too?
Nah, I don't think we are.
Oh, y'all away?
Yeah, I think we're away. Make sure.
I'm still picking y'all.
It didn't matter.
That was an irrelevant question.
And to cap it off, Thursday Night Football, Green Bay Packers versus Arizona Cardinals. That's going to be a game.
I'm taking the Cardinals.
I'm taking the Cardinals, too.
Hey, we was about to sell it. Then niggas are like, I never mind.
I'm taking the Cardinals. That's not – I think it's going to be close, but not competitive, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Bingo. So. That's exactly how I think it's going to be. Is the scoreboard won't really reflect how the game goes.
Exactly.
But if fuck around, it could, because the Cardinals is – hey.
Them boys nice.
Yeah, they nice. But so those are our picks, man. Y'all, hey, well, never mind.
That was our picks. We appreciate y'all for tuning in to the No Sue Sports Podcast. Catch us every week, and we out.
See y'all later, man. Appreciate it.